Thanks. Thanks, bud. I appreciate it, man. All right. Can you hear me? Hello? Testing? Awesome. Seems quiet. I'm going to move this down. Thank you guys very much. All right. Oh, just give me a second to kind of... Did I unplug myself? Okay. You guys are beautiful. Is that you or me? All right. We'll figure this thing out. This is a fun new toy. Kind of makes me look like a telemarketer, but I'm down. I'm down. Whatever it takes. Oh, man. Man. God's good. God is so good. Holy Spirit, thank you so much. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much. You are just so good. You are so good. Thank you so much, God. We just can't get away from you. Thank you so much, God. You made it impossible for us to get away from you. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much that you just open our hearts up. You're the key to our hearts, Father. Your whispers just open our hearts up like a flower, and we just, and you just love stepping in. Thank you so much that you made your home in with us. Oh, you're just so good. Thank you so much, God. So today I get the privilege of talking about repentance. And that's, so it's kind of a, traditionally kind of a, you know, fun topic. And Tim and Andy gave it to me, and this thing might be cutting, I don't know. We're kind of trying new things out, so bear with me. Traditionally, in general, the church has taught repentance pretty, from my experience, and maybe relate with a lot of you guys, is repentance is... You make a decision, you turn a 180, and you go towards God, okay? It's you making a choice and walking towards his way. And it's very correct. I mean, repentance is you making a literal choice to follow him. However, where I kind of want to shed a different light on or maybe pull a different aspect into it is relation or repentance out of the context of relationship is just religion. Okay, and that's where, without the relationship, repentance is just another act, another checkbox, or however you want to think of something more. It can be more like remorse. You're feeling bad, and now you're okay, and you're kind of moving on. So, the relationship is the key to this whole thing. And to kind of back this, kind of shed some light on that. If we go to Romans 2:4, they put it up there. Court, maybe. All right. So look at Romans 2:4, it says, do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and lead you into repentance? And so, but yeah, this is an example, like, if you are not aware of his kindness, the repentance is, I mean, like, you're not getting pulled in. It's a heart, it's a relationship aspect that's pulling you into repentance. And it's not just a thing that you do to be right. And so one question I have is, okay, so how do you build a relationship? How do you build a relationship with God? And this is, I mean, like, you know, most of us would probably say you read the Bible, you worship, fast. And those are all good things, don't get me wrong. They're all great things. Those are all good things to do. But the funny thing about it is, like, for example, if Andy, I'll use Andy as an example. Come on, buddy. You got it. Andy, I can do all these things. I think I didn't rotate. I don't know what's going on. I can do all these things. But until Andy is willing to engage with me, there's no chance for a relationship. It takes two. Okay, so you can do all the stuff you want in the world, but unless the other person is willing to engage, relationship's impossible. Okay, and that's, some of you like, oh gosh. I mean, sometimes you can do that two ways, either super encouraging or super, oh my gosh. And for me, it's super encouraging because the relationship, I know who he is. I know how much he loves me. That means, holy cow, he's always loving me. He's always coming after me. He never stops coming after me. He never stops wanting to see me. He wakes up, I wake up in the morning, he's right there in my bed saying, oh, it's a new day. I'm right here. I got love for you. I'm here for you. We've got great things going on. I've been waiting. I've just been waiting all eternity for this day right now just to be with you. You see, that to me, I'm like, I can't fail. Okay, so now when I go into all these things, I go into reading, I go into these things, I'm already going to preset, I have my mind already set on the fact that he's already here engaging with me. He wants this thing more than I do. Okay? So now it's like that's how we're starting to get the relationship, is under the getting in the understanding that he wants it more than you do. Okay? Hold on, I think I'm gonna hold off on that, okay. So another key aspect to that is relationship, and that's it's built on faith. Okay. And a verse I'll use to go with that is Ephesians 2:8-9. And well, that's a lot. I'm not actually going for all that. We're just going to shoot straight for the. We are saved by grace through faith is really what's coming. I'm sorry, I kind of messed that up, but I don't want to read all that. So, but it's just saved by grace through faith. You might try the next one, Chris. Is that the one? Yeah, for by grace you've been saved through faith. I'm just going to try to. We're just going to focus on that, and I really want to hit on that because you are saved by grace through faith. So right now, God is moving, okay, right here. He's moving all the time, okay? All right? It's faith that allows you to be aware of it, okay? Faith is the key to being able to unlock the grace that's for you right here in this very moment. What he has for you, his wholeness, everything he is, everything that he encompasses, all of his strength, all of his power, all of his undeniable love, everything that he is accessible in faith. Is when I believe who he is, who he says he is, I see who he says that I am, and now it's a moving and it's flowing through me and I'm interacting it. I'm able to see him more clearly, to see who he thinks I am, and now it's a revelation. I'm taking knowledge. Hey, we're going to read the Bible. I'm taking knowledge, putting in here, but then I have faith to see, hey, oh wow, you do think this about me. So grace is now exposing and it's coming into my head, sinking the seeds into my heart and overflowing. It's like 1,000 Altoids hitting a Coke bottle. It just blows out of you because all of a sudden it's grace, it's everything he is becoming alive inside of you. Okay, so that's why one of the key things to building a relationship is engaging in faith, because then you're constantly being overwhelmed by grace. Okay? And so that's like when you, all the time, and this is where my team has, this is where I challenge everybody is okay, work. Where in your work have you stepped out of faith in how you're doing things, and now you're just operating on just as yourself? You're after around your own strength, and eventually you get tired out, you get kind of exhausted, you whatever, and then you're like, oh. For me, I usually find those are the times I'm not operating in faith. Oh man, God, I don't know why I have to write this report, but you got something good. You're doing something that I don't even know about, and I'm just constantly just chewing on it, because I want grace in my life. I know this heart before I knew him. It was dead. It was death in here. I was dead. He put life in here. I don't want to go back to anything else but life. I want it all the time. I'm an addict. I'm hooked on it. I gotta have it. And so I don't ever want to know an aspect of my life without this grace moving into it. If he died so that I could have access to him all the time, okie dokie, what do I gotta get rid of? Okay? And that's where to me I'm like, man, workplace. I don't care too much anymore about professional, how I need a professional. I want Jesus. He says he loves me. He'll take care of the rest. I'm going to stick in that thing. And so kind of getting off topic, but so I guess really what I'm going to take a chance, take some time here and let you guys kind of right around where you guys are at. Well, actually, I want to give you guys a, and I'll do it afterwards. Let's everybody kind of like get about five people around you, okay, right in your rows or right around you. If you didn't move, I don't know if you move chairs, I don't know if they get too, yeah, do what you got to do. And then just get in groups and just talk about the different ways and just with each other that you guys have found the ways to engage in faith in what you're doing so that you see more God's revelation in your life, okay? I just want to take 10 minutes. You guys just take some time and just get in groups and just talk about, hey, this is what God does in my life. This is how I've seen him move. And I just want to take an opportunity for you guys to just do it. Give people more insight of how you guys find who he is. Crying or the feather?
What? The feather.
It's like a, oh, awesome. That's so cool. All right. One more? Anybody else? One more? Just give me the opportunity. Don't have to take it. All right. We're going once. Going twice. Moving on. All right. So one thing I wanted to kind of, I wanted to show you guys because I think I didn't know. I don't know. Anybody in here just struggle with reading the Bible? Just say it's easy to get a little bit boring. I mean, is it just me? Okay. It's this guy here. This guy right here. I struggled with this for years. Okay, and I would try to do it because I knew that I was told all the time, "Hey, you need to put the miles in, or you're not gonna." You're not going to be holy. And I'm like, okie dokie. And then I'd fall asleep in 5 minutes and wake up and was like, got a long ways to go. And so, something that really just hit my heart and it's helped me a lot is I was watching, usually when I'm talking to him, I'm going to usually reference like Dan Moeller, Todd White, some of those guys that that really let soak in my life a lot. And Dan Moeller had this, he had this technique. I don't want to say it's a method because I really don't want you guys ever get stuck in methods, okay? Don't ever just do exactly what somebody else does. You personalize everything, okay? You personalize everything. You don't just give God a counterfeit of somebody else's stuff. You personalize it, okay? And so, I just kind of want to show you an example. I mean, so like when I'm reading the Bible, I'm like, guys, I'm literally just flipping this thing open, okay? And so, we'll see how this goes. This will be a really good example, or it's going to bomb. It'll be great. It's going to be really great. So, let's see. So, when I start reading, let's see. He says, now please bear with some of my craziness for a moment. Yes, oh, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now please bear with me with some of my craziness for a moment. Yes, please be patient with me. You need to know that God's passion is burning inside of me for you because like a loving father, I have pledged your hand in marriage to Christ. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, God, that you're putting people that are devoted to me in my life. Thank you so much, God, that you're putting people around me that want to see more of Christ in me than anything else. Thank you so much, God, that you're pursuing me and you called me your bride and that you're coming after me all night and day to refine who you are in my heart. See, I'm just taking scripture and I just start putting faith into everything I'm saying. Okay, I'm always putting faith into everything I'm saying because the goal is to not get knowledge, okay? Knowledge is good, don't get me wrong, but knowledge without wisdom, without the relationship of Christ, just a whole bunch of black belt Christians. They can hit you in the face with all the scriptures in the world and you just leave there and you're just like, thanks, and you come walking out with a bloody nose. And it's just, you know, I mean, it's just like we don't... The church doesn't need more of those. The church just needs lovers. And that's what we're going to be. That's what our heart is. And that's what, to me, I'm like, the whole goal here is just to get intimate with Christ. And the more faith you put into this thing, when you're reading this thing, just start, boom, oh my God, thank you so much. He'll start putting it alive. And he's going to have it hit your head. Knowledge will hit your head. Faith will activate it. Grace, the power of God, love, his grace that's all around you is going to get that puppy in your heart. And now you're going to start to see him more clearly. And the more you engage with faith and start to let God's grace move in your life, you're panning it. You're basically, the way I look at it is, I'm starting to make every single thought pattern, situation, anything that I go to is now rooted in who Christ is to me, like his love towards me. It's now I'm just making him everything. So everywhere I go, I'm already putting faith in grace. God, where are you at? What are you doing? How are you doing this thing? Oh man, God, you love me so much. Oh, you love them and you love that. Oh, my boss, even though he's being like this, you love him ridiculously. And now who he is and who he is towards you and to everybody else is getting in here. And he has become the filter of everything that I think, everything that I do. He is now the filter of it all so that I can be more like him. And now I'm walking in a grace. I'm looking like him. The grace of God, who he is now coming out of me, is coming into me and manifesting out of here. God in this world. Hello, world. The kingdom of God is here. It is near, and it's going to change some lives. The grace of God is being acted. You're seeing it. You're getting a hold of it, and now you're moving in it. Okay? And so I wanted to just kind of show you that as you guys read, especially if you get bored reading this. Take it, personalize it, but that helps me out a ton. And I don't sit down. I have to walk. And I have to stand, and I'm like, whoo, yeah. If I sit down, game over, Kyle. Game over. We're talking about repentance. But like I said earlier, repentance without relationship, just religion. Okay, I mean, that's because it's the relationship that makes everything worth it all. It makes the act of repentance so much. It's the love story. It's the wraparound. It's the one that pulls you back in because he's this, you hear the Father's heart towards you, not mad, but in love with you, saying, come back, get back in here. I got more for you than that. Get back over here with me. Get back in relationship. And your heart's just like, oh, all right, man. Here I come. I don't know why I was even looking that way, but thank you so much. You know, that's what brings it all together. It's not a task. It's an opportunity for him to show himself in your life and show you more how much he loves you and for his grace to come in, and now you're going to have more of a relationship. Oh my gosh, he loves me this much more. And it's a compounding, relationship revealing, love overwhelming, relationship that just blows your mind. And it's just a lot of fun. This part of it is really fun. I've been doing Christianity for quite a while, and it just gets getting better. When you're hanging out with Jesus and you're hanging out with the Holy Spirit and he's doing his thing in your life, it's constantly good. All right, let's get into repentance. All right, good segue. All right. So when it comes to repentance, let's see the best way to do this. I'm going to let this stage kind of be like, we're going to pretend like the stage is kind of like God's grace. I'm going to kind of make it a little bit smaller so you guys can kind of hopefully get a picture. When I'm here, okay, I'm operating in his word and his grace and who he is, and it's kind of like I'm engaged with God. I'm engaging with him. Outside of here, I am not. This is me living, whatever, worldly, doing sin, whatever. You just put your name on it, anything that is not engaging with God in a relationship aspect, okay, and operating in this relationship. So, when it comes to repentance, I kind of wanted to touch base on the different kind of things I have seen in my times here as a Christian and being involved in church. The first type of repentance usually I see with people is, I call them like kind of the repeat offender. It's the guy at church, anywhere. He usually is the one guy that comes once a year. He comes in, he's super sorry, he's crying, he's on the front, then you don't see him again. You know, you're like, oh, okay, that guy's gone. But usually it's whenever, and I kind of want to touch base on that is, and most of the time, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong. I'm just saying there's more to it. And then here, let me get my head, my bearing straight real quick. Yeah. Okay. So on a, usually what I find is that what we do is, sorry, I just want to make sure I articulate this correctly. Our flesh is very used to life here. Our flesh is very used to this. You can usually tell like how we do everything. We look at possessions, we look at stuff, we look at relationships, we look at all these things to try to find fulfillment. And our flesh just finds satisfaction in looking at those desires and going striving for them. Yeah, and so usually what happens is we do know that pursuing this one aspect or just pursuing this thing or doing whatever is wrong. And then after a while, it becomes like we're so pouring out of ourselves that we're now just dry and empty. Okay, and then when we get to that empty point, usually that's where you see people like, not just people, it's when people start messing up. Maybe it's drinking, okay, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's whatever, you pick. It's just whatever, you're just finding satisfaction or you're finding some type of fulfillment outside of this. And that you hit that wall, and then now you're going back like, I messed up. So I step back in, I say I'm sorry, I turn back ahead, I know this is the right way, but I'm so used to, all we ever known is this, that we turn back around and we go back to our jobs, we go back to our stuff, if we're in the ministry, we go back to pouring out, we go back to paying people, we go do all this stuff, we're do, I'm dry, I'm empty, blah. I get mad at my wife, I get mad at my kids, whatever, you pick. It will express itself in a way that is not good. And you know when it happens, your hearts all know when you hit that wall. And then we turn back, we do it again, and we do it again. Okay, so that's, I call that the kind of the repeat offender, and it's no knock on anybody who's done it. I've done it, okay? I'll be the first to admit so everybody can feel okay. All right, and the second one I see a lot of is the guilt-driven repenter, and some of these, I see that, a lot of people, this is, for me, I see this as somebody who's usually, they mess up, and now they're carrying a label, okay? This is where you maybe, I don't know, we'll just, you say, the person that has messed up and now you've lied, now I'm a liar, or you believe some type of label that you are undesirable. Or maybe you did something and you really hurt a friend, or you really did something bad, and now you have labeled yourself that, and you know, like you, and that's all you can focus on. So be like, I'm gonna take this. Okay. I'm only over here more because this thing can catch this thing. So sorry, guys, it's nothing against you. So what's this say? Here's a good one. You had an affair, so I'm an adulteress, okay. And that's, I've taken that label, and now this is all I look at, okay. And I'm like, I'm so pathetic. That's all I am. And this is the guilt-driven, God, I'm so sorry. I knew better the whole time, God, I knew better. I'm so sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I can't even explain. I don't even know why, but God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But the whole time you're focusing here, and he's over here, and you're saying sorry. You have this feelings of remorse, but you don't even know how to get out of it because you're just so focused on this. Okay, and so this is what we're and this is usually I call this the guilt-driven, because you're just so overwhelmed with guilt, remorse, that you're not able to get past. You're just stuck here, and it's just the endless cycle where you're sorry. Your heart is sincere, but you're still stuck looking at the junk, okay? And then the last one is going to be, I would call it this more of a truth-driven repenter, okay? Because repentance is relational. So I like this guy. I'm going to take this Kleenex box back. So, and Holy Spirit, thank you so much. Repentance, the hard part about, not just it's not necessarily hard, it's hard for our flesh to get a hold of it, is this relationship, okay? Is now I have a fact about something I've done, okay? Now am I going, the truth driven is I hear God's call, God's over here, and he's saying, I love you. I would do everything for you. I give up everything I am. I bankrupt heaven. I love you. I'm never going to stop loving you. Nothing you can ever do would take that away from me. I don't care what you've done. I'm here now. Just come back. Okay, that's his God's calling for you right now in every situation. He doesn't stop the pursuit of love. It never ends. And so it's when we can sit there, now we have this fact. Now you want change because repentance, the goal is to become more like that. I don't know about you. Christianity, okay? Christianity is not a blessing religion. I'm sorry to detour, but make sure we get this very, very, very clear. It is not a blessing religion. It's a transformation religion. It's I got to be more like Christ. I see how good you are. I see how junk this thing is, and I need you to come in. You're my only hope. You're the only hope that my marriage is going to be all that it can be. That me as a father is all that it can be. That every aspect of this world, the only way that I can be everything that I am is if you step in here and you change this thing. You're my only hope. Okay? So this is, it's the transformation gospel. It's not what I get. It's what I give up everything so that he can come inside of me and make me all of that changes me to be more like him. It's a transformation gospel. I'm constantly growing. I'm constantly being overwhelmed by who he is, and I'm changing because he's so faithful and he loves me. Okay? So, thanks. Kind of got me off track though now. I gotta circle back. But so when it comes to repentance, okay, it's believing what God says more than the facts that you have in your hands or that you've gone through. Okay? So when it's like, okay, I have this thing, and I hear him calling out to me, because I read in the Bible, you can't really read too much of that without. You're going to have to make a choice either to say, no, you don't love me. Because, like, that thing, all it does say is, I love you. I pretty much almost every single page says, I love you. I really haven't found too many pages that don't say it. So I'm like, man, if you get anything else, I'm like, man, this is where it's great. Because now we're going to start work on that faith so that you can start hearing what God has to say about you. You're going to be overwhelmed because that puppy is just it's a lot of love in there. So I'm starting to hear what he's saying about me. And I'm turning. And I'm like, so now I'm engaging. You know, God, you do love me. I know I messed up, but God, you're the only chosen. You're the only hope I have in fixing this thing. I'm going to get so focused on him and what he says about me. God, you're going to crush this thing in my life. It would overtake me, but it can't overtake you. And God, you're the one who defines me, and you call me overcomer because of who you are, and you've overcome this thing in my life. It does not hold me. You hold me. And if I'm held by you, what else can take me down? Nothing can take me down because your love, God, you pursue me night and day, and you will slay everything that keeps me from you. So this is not a problem for you. This is something that you will gladly crush in my life, and that I get to see you be faithful and make something out of nothing. You're always coming in and putting life where there was death and calling it brand new creation, overwhelming in my life. And what I'm doing is I'm so focused on believing what he says about me. This is where repentance comes in. I'm believing you love me. Even though I'm holding something I've done, which was trying to pull me away from it. And when I engage and believe what he says about me, he takes it away. He moves it. But he's the one that, now I have the testimony of his faithfulness. And I'm like, oh, you took it away. You took away what I could not. You took away everything that held me down for so many years, you took it away. Oh, my love. And you just have all my heart. You take all of it, God. You're just so good. And this is the relationship. This is the beauty of repentance, is that we get to come back, and you get to hear his love cry. It says, oh, I don't see that. And I'm going to put so much of me in you. You're going to have so much life. life. So much love. So much. Because I just believe in you. I believe in you. And that's, it pulls you in. I can't get away from it. I don't want to know life without it. And that's what we get to, that's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to get into. And that's what to me, I'm like, man, that's so much better than the traditional way of repentance. Oh, that's lame. And so, but God is so good, and he loves you so much, so much. I don't even know how much time, I don't know where we're at right now. 8 o'clock, what time? We wrap it up. Great, great, perfect timing. Man, all right. Guys, do you want to come up and do, yeah, man, it'd be awesome. As we get to go into worship, I just really encourage you guys, wherever you're at, is there something been on your heart, something that's going on, just right where you're at, spend 10 minutes, spend 10, 15 minutes and just thanking God. Start putting faith in it. Start putting faith in it. Thank you so much, God, that you love me. That's not who I am. In fact, this is who I am. You died for me. You come up. Oh, okay, this is just on my heart. I want to hit this real quick. So many of us have kind of missed it when it comes to, we look at the cross incorrectly. So like, we look at God, like we've been taught a whole life that is our sin. And that's why Jesus had to die, which is true. There had to be a price to pay for our sin, okay? And he came and he took it. Totally true, not arguing it. But the problem is that we kind of take that and we hold on to it and say, God, I'm such a screw up. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm such a screw up. And we kind of look at it, we kind of analyze it from the point where, like, where God's on the cross. Thanks, Dan. Thanks a ton. You had to go and botch it, and now I'm up here dying. What the heck? Come on, man. You know, we take it. We look at it that way, and it's like, doesn't it? I mean, it's silly, isn't it? But yet we do it. It's so silly. Like when you hear it from that lens, it's so ridiculous. But yet we treat him like that all the time. And it's so funny. But the truth of it is that it was the joy set before him. He loved you so much. Every single whip hit him in the back. He said, I'm coming for you. It's going to take a whole lot more than that. It's going to take a whole lot more than that. As he's carrying the cross all the way up to Calvary, I'm coming. We'll never be apart again. We'll never be apart again. It's going to be me and you for eternity. I'm coming for you. I love you so much. It's going to be us together. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. And he's taking the cross. It's just a short time more. And we're going to be together forever. It's going to be great. It's love. It was impossible for him to come off that cross. He was going all the way. It was impossible. He was going all the way for you. He wasn't going to stop. That thought never came in his mind. He says, I'm coming. He's so good. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. So just right where you're at, it says, open up your hearts. And just say, thank you, God. As we go into worship, just thank him so much for how much he loves you. Thank you so much for how he loves you. Thank you so much, God. Yes.